Good morning. How are y'all? I hope you y'all had a wonderful week. And we're so glad that you came here to start your new week with us. And we're just going to enjoy this moment of getting to worship and getting to come into God's presence. So if you'll stand and join with me. My mind is in a thousand different places at all times. From the moment that my eyes wake open, I'm just thinking about all the tasks I need to do, want to do, and I have to start prioritizing. Okay, what's most important? What do I need to get done? And then there's that moment of where I say, oh wait, I have a God who is the foundation of these thoughts of this day. Where do you want me to be? Yes, surrounding, fixing lunches and breakfast and picking up the kids, it's all of that. But he's there even in those small moments. He's there to be able to lead us, to give us peace when that person pulls out in front of you or whatever it is. I like to burn supper a lot. So even in those moments, he's there. He's the foundation of our thoughts and our chaos. And I'm just so grateful for that, because otherwise my emotions will just take over and I'll be angry and but I can go to him and say, God, I need your peace. And he's right there and he'll respond and he'll answer. So know that this is our God. He's everywhere we go in every moment we have. Rest in that. Know that he is right here all the time. Amen.
Thank you. as we sing this next song more. Just surrender this morning. Just not in giving up. Just say, I want to surrender to all you are, all you have for me, all you are within me. I surrender. I allow myself just to be pulled from, to grow, to expand, to be aware of your beauty, and to acknowledge you in all things. That the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. That this beauty that we see is just opening up so much more of you if we look. Our prayer today, when we say more of you, is that we are not drawing a line. We are not staying in a box. We are not saying this is it. There's no arriving. We want more and more and more. Just allow that to be your prayer this morning. I just want more. I just want more. More of you, God. More of you, God. I just want more. I just want more. More of you, God. More of you. Down all my room, I'm making room for you. Just one touch from your robe steals the weakness from my bones. Oh, I need more of you. I just want more. Thank you, Lord, for the more. Thank you, Lord, for pouring and pouring. We can draw from what's inside us and just give more and pour more from that. Thank you, Lord, for that touch. Thank you, Lord, that we have access to all of your, just the fullness of who you are. Amen.
Aren't you glad you don't have him just in part, that you have him in whole, and that he makes us whole? Inside your bulletin was your connection card. I know I remind you each and every week, but it is important to us that you fill that out. Lets us know that you are here, especially if you're members. We want you filling that out and the way that you can communicate and volunteer. That fourth one on that list is real important to me to encourage to you, the work day that will be on March 10th from 8 to 12. So make sure you're planning that and drop this in the offering bucket at the end of the service. Thank you.
Way some people's Bibles are. Would you stand with me for a moment? And someone's close to you, would you just join hands with them? I want us to pray this morning for the people in Florida that was so affected by a horrible thing. And pray for those families. I'm sure that all of us can just imagine being there, putting ourselves in their place of their children, their loved one. So, Father, we stand today, Lord, with this nation. I'm sure all across this country, churches are praying and blessing the people in South Florida. We pray for your grace and mercy just to be so shed abroad in that area. We just send forth love. We send forth grace and support, strengthen them. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray, God, that this divisiveness will come to an end. Lord, this back and forth of who's right and who's wrong will just stop. Let us lift up the banner that you have over us of love. And we ask that today, Lord, in that powerful name that we've sung about today, that nothing could stop. Lord, reach into the heart of this country and heal every part. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to teach. I normally don't do that on Sunday mornings, but a preacher may show up. You never know, but I want to teach this morning. I want to share a word with you that evolved all week long and actually took me to a place I had no idea that it would take me. But for those who are new, you wonder what these letters are behind me. Kainos is a Greek word, and it's a Greek word for new. In the Bible, it says that Jesus is making all things new. And the book of Revelation says God is making all things new. And new there is the Greek word kainos, and it means renew, refreshing. How many know our country needs renewing, refreshing? We need a renewing of our hearts, our minds. We need a renewing of love and grace and mercy. We need this renewing every day of our lives. And we've been in a study on the 12 names of God in the Scripture. And each name represented a characteristic of who he is and also represents something in us that we need to become that too. He is Elohim. He is the creator, and he created everything by his words. The Bible says if we want to really get to know him, that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that we would be made whole, we would be saved, and that word saved means we'll be made whole. He says in Scripture he wants to sanctify us wholly. He wants us to be whole in spirit and soul and in body. His name is Jehovah, which is our righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? He is our Adonai. He is our master, our Lord, not to master and lord over us this way, but he is our master and Lord so that we can master our own lives, that we can go through this life being an overcomer. How many would rather be an overcomer than not? I love restoration, but I like the fact of maintenance better than restoration. I'd rather not need it, hadn't you? You know what I mean? I'd rather not need restoration, tell you the truth. I've gone through it, and I'd rather not. I'm happy for it, and I'm grateful for it, and I'm really excited about it, but I'd rather not have to go through it. That's all I got to say about that. He is our El Shaddai. He is our provider. How many knows he provides? And therefore, we should be a provider. How many agree with that? He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that, I said El Shaddai, he's our nourisher. He's the one who nourishes us, and we should nourish on his word. That's what we're doing here this morning. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He provides for us every single day. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And my daily bread is not lunch. Our daily bread is a fresh word from God every day. Lord, give me today a fresh word from you. And he is our Jehovah Rapha. We talked about that last week. He is our healer. And the greatest healing that this world needs is the healing of the soul, the healing of the heart, the healing of our inward person that is really who we are. This outward shell is just that. It's an outward shell. This body is a body that the Bible says is dying every single day, but inside there's a spirit that's being renewed every single day. And that we are a spiritual being. We came from God and we'll go back to God. So I want to talk this morning about another name of God called Jehovah Nissi, which is God, our banner. Our banner. We raise a banner. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus chapter 17 or just look at the screen and we're going to read. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses and Aaron and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steadfast until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the armies of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means "The Lord is my banner." They have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. Now, I don't know how Moses held that staff up. He held it like this. He held it like this. But either way, his hands were lifted. And as long as his hands was lifted toward heaven, let me back up. Everything that he had done with this rod so far, everything that God had done for Israel so far, he had done for them. He took this rod and he opened up the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went across on dry land, and their enemies were drowned behind them. He had taken this rod, he had hit a rock, and got water out of a rock for them. He had provided for them that way. Everything he had done for them up until this time, he had done for them. Now, he's about to do something through them. Now, you got to understand something. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Okay? They weren't warriors. The fact, this is early in their journey. Amalek is the grandson of Esau. Amalek stands really for the flesh. If you want to know what this story is all about, it's about the daily battle that you and I have with a thing called the flesh. And he said, this is going to be a battle from generation to generation, but the Lord wants to end that battle. He wants Amalek in our life, our flesh, to be under control. He wants us to subdue it. He wants us to overcome it. So something strange to me happened. Here's a group of slaves just delivered out of bondage, haven't been trained for war, know nothing about war. As a matter of fact, when God brought them out, it was only a 3 days journey to Canaan land. But he said, you're not ready to go into Canaan land. You're not going to be able to fight those battles. You're not ready to fight those battles. So God says, Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to take some men, choose some men out, and I want you to go fight Amalek. I want you to take these slaves, these people who know nothing about warfare, and I want you to go into war. It just doesn't seem right, does it? That don't seem a reasonable request. And by the way, we always give these away from time to time that Jim Lewis has said. This one says, when nothing certain, everything is possible. When nothing is, and I want to give this, and I'll bring it to you, Miss Judy Smith, after the service. But I want Miss Judy Smith to have this. She's been such a inspiration to us here. Always an encouragement to me. I'm glad she came here from California. And thank you for all your encouraging words that you give me all the time. So Amalek is the flesh. I stand in the back a lot before the service, and I'm not back there studying. I'm back there praying. I'm back there worshiping, praying in the Spirit a whole lot. But I was back there last week, and I just kind of grazing, looking at this congregation, and I saw how a few hands were lifted. This message is not now. I'm going to get a little Pentecostal on you this morning. Is that okay? Chris is not here, so he won't be squirming. Because if I get Pentecostal on Chris, he gets all nervous. And especially if I talk anything about, you know, speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit, boy, he has a little knee-jerk reaction to it. So Chris is not here today, so I can go Pentecostal on you. But I just noticed that how few hands was lifted up. And now I'm not going to tell you this morning that you have to lift up your hands and praise the Lord, okay? I'm not going to. So if you're sitting there nervous, I say, oh no, are we going to have to start lifting up our hands and praising the Lord? I don't know. Are you? Look at me with me to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my, now I want you to see this word, inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is my inheritance. Say inheritance. This is important. I'm teaching you this morning, okay? I'm teaching. So you got to listen to me and follow me. Okay, we talked about Moses lifting up his rod, lifting up his hands to the Lord. And while he did that, then the Israelites had the advantage over their enemy. When he did not have his arms lifted, the Amalekites had the advantage. Every day, either your spirit or your flesh has the advantage. Your mercies, now how many know if his mercies are new every morning, my mercies need to be new every morning. I have a fresh day every morning to get up and forget about yesterday and put it behind me. Because I find out a lot of times in the morning I'm really full of mercy. Because nobody's bothered me. I'm fresh. I am just full of love and mercy. Grace is just pouring out of me. I mean, I'm just full of mercy. Every day is fresh and new. But as the day wears on, anybody besides me, sometimes as the day has worn on, your mercy's kind of got worn a little bit. I know you with kids do. You may start out, everything's good, but by the time you get halfway to school with them, you're yelling at them. Come on. This is life. And so, you know, I kind of get pulled on and phone calls. And, you know, I can by the end of the day kind of be mercy empty. My mercy tank is no longer on full. It has slowly got burned out throughout the day. So verse 40 of this same chapter, I'm trying to teach. Y'all making me preach. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven and say, let us lift our hands to God. In Psalms chapter 62, verses 2 through 3, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. Lifting up my hands to you in prayer, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I'll praise you with songs of joy. This is a drop in the bucket of scriptures about raising hands. Solomon built a temple in the Bible, and he dedicated it, and it was a beautiful, beautiful prayer of dedication that he did. And he said, God, when things go wrong in this world, and he listed numerous things that could go wrong, when we fail to be who we should be, when we don't respond the way we should respond, if we lift our hands in prayer from this place, would you hear us? And would you come and heal our land? And he prayed such a beautiful prayer. And the Bible says at the end of it, the glory of the Lord filled that temple. The presence of God, the glory of God, the weight of him, the weight of his presence filled that temple. And God, about midway through it, said to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and I will heal their land. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's a chapter 11 was all about the heroes of faith. And he talked about how they conquered so much. Then in chapter 12, he starts it out and he says, seeing then that we are encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Laying aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but he endured the cross. We're going to end with this shortly, but here's what I want you. I want you to hear lifting up of hands. I want you to hear an inheritance, because we all have an inheritance. Our inheritance are the privileges that come with who we are. You know what I'm saying? If my father was a gazillionaire and he passed away, I would get an inheritance. I would receive the privileges that he accumulated all of his life. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Matter of fact, it says in the Garden of Gethsemane that he prayed until his sweat became drops of blood. It is a medical term, I can't say, but it's a person under such stress that literally the pores of your skin open and blood begins to seep through it. He was under such stress of the moment, and he prayed, God, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Then he went a little further and he prayed again. And it was when he'd asked his disciples to watch and pray with him, and they couldn't. And he prayed and says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. That's when Jesus looked at his situation and saw the agony and the pain that I'm about to go through. And the only way I can do it is not to look at this moment. I've got to reframe this moment. For the joy that was set before him, he looked down through the corridors of time and he saw Eagles Way Church. He saw Spalding County. He saw every church in the nation. He saw all the people throughout the world that would benefit from what he was going to do. For the joy that was set before him, he says, I can endure this. See, there are things that we go through in life that we have to not look. I believe in so living in the moment. I'm a moment person. But what I'm talking about this morning, you can't live in this kind of moment. You can't live in a moment where you're under attack or things are not going well and make a call or make a decision based upon what I'm feeling right now. I may have to look down the corridors of time. I've got to look to the future, and I've got to see things the way it will be by the choice I'm going to make right now. I've got to look down the future, not in my moment here, but I've got to look down the corridors of time, and I've got to see something that's good can come out of this. I've got to make a call. I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a choice that is going to benefit everybody in my life besides me. I want to tell you what is wrong with this country is me. We got way too much entitlement going on, and this country is spoiled by selfishness and what I want and what I think is what's wrong with this country. And so everybody feels like they're entitled. And we got to get back to a place that we understand we've got to make choices for other people that's going to benefit them. Not that old adage, that old saying, well, it can affect anybody else but me. That's hogwash. Everything I do, every choice I make affects other people. It's not just about me. He says it's an inheritance I have in you, God. Jesus was the firstborn of the church. The Bible says he's the firstborn of many brethren. The firstborn is the one in the old covenant, it gets all the inheritance. It gets the blessings. It gets the rights. It gets the power. You and I are joint heirs with Christ. You with me? So we are firstborn too. Everybody is. And that's, see, spiritually, we all are firstborn. Spiritually, you're God's only son. Spiritually, you're God's only daughter. Spiritually, we all are the firstborn, joint heirs with him. Therefore, we receive all the benefits and all the privileges that come with it. Is that good? I'm preaching now. I've got to teach. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, he had just talked about some things. We don't even want to go there because it talks about God chastening his children. That's what old King James says. He'll chasten you. I don't, that word just sounds terrible. Chasten me. That's a word that he will discipline us. I like that one better. No, we don't. Because it's the same thing. We have a Father who will discipline us for our good. And so he just talked about that. And so he's about to tell some things that you can do not to lose your inheritance. You can lose your inheritance, not your sonship, not your daughtership, but you can lose your inheritance. Esau did. But we don't have to. Now let me read. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Now, I like the other translation says, lift up your tired hands. Say, lift up your tired hands. Lift up your tired hands. Because when you lift them up to God, you are acknowledging Him. You're acknowledging all that He is. And it puts you in a receptive mode of getting what He has for you. If I was going to give you something, you got to reach out and take it. Right? I can reach it out and say, here, all I want. But if you don't take it, if you don't receive it.
That's it. Come on.
Ralph's told me a story over the last several months about how this person was a huge giver and give. But they did, if they gave to somebody and that person said, thank you, I so needed that. He said, well, give it back. I don't give to needs. I give out of love. That's just stuck with me for a while. It might have met a need. But we give it out of love. There's things that happen to me from time to time that people give me stuff. Not out of a need. Out of love. And I've learned to just go, thank you. And not, I needed that. Just be grateful and thankful. We have an inheritance. I'm going to harp on this for a little bit. We have an inheritance. We have a Father who has put a will in action. He wrote it. It's a big will. It's not just everything I've got, I'm leaving to will. It's a lot deeper than that. There's a lot of stuff in here. Good stuff in here. It's quite a will. It's called an old will and a new will. And I like the new one better than the old one. I've read them both. One's the Old Testament, the old will. And one's the New Testament, the new will. I love it. God wrote a new will just for me and you. And it's just as though you are the only son and only daughter of God. We are all spiritually His firstborn. So He says, lift up your hands and receive this. Acknowledge this. Mark out a straight path for your feet so those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Then He says two things. Work. Say work. But work. I used to love Dobie Gillison. Had Maynard on there, the bum. Sometimes you say, work, work. He couldn't stand the word work because he didn't like the word work, work. Work, living in peace with everyone. His mercies are new every morning. My mercies are new every morning. I got to work. At living in peace with every work again at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Now, let me rephrase this in a different way, but in a spiritual, scriptural way. Holy is not walking around like this. I'm holy. Holy is making a difference. That's all it is. Making a difference in the world. Live at peace with everyone and make a difference. Make a difference in this world. Make a good difference in this world. Make a difference. Then people will see the Lord. That's good. No, you can't see God where there's no peace. You can't see God where there's nobody making the difference. But people who are living in peace and people who are living their life to make a difference for God in this earth, people see the Lord. And how are they going to see God other than seeing Him in you? Have you ever seen God? Yes. Every single day. I was telling some people last night, my change for this year, my goal for this year is I see God in joy so easy. He's just so easy to see God in Him and some of you other people. But there are people who's just not that easy for me to see God in. I'll be honest with you, I sometimes don't see God in them. And sometimes they probably don't see God in me. But I want to make a difference. I want people to see God in me, and I want to see God in other people. No matter who they are, I've got to stop looking at people and looking at their outward appearance and judging them. I got to look always at the heart. I got to go. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. The grace of God, don't miss. I love the translation. It says, don't miss the grace of God. Every day, grace, grace, grace is coming. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss out on my grace today. I don't want to miss out on His grace. Every day, every day. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. Wow. Y'all with me? Say, I'm with you. I'm awake. I'm listening. Keep going. All right. He said, don't be godless. Don't be immoral. That word immoral, I got to read this. That word immoral is not sexually immoral. Now, if you'll read it in some translations, it'll say that. That's not, that was thrown in there in certain translations because they assume when you say immoral, you got to be talking sex. That's not what he's talking. The Greek word for immoral there is bebelos. Say bebelos. I know you remember that. Don't be so earthbound, a mind that doesn't recognize anything or anyone higher than the earth. You lift your hands because you're recognizing somebody higher than the earth. You're recognizing what Alcoholic Anonymous calls a higher power. Or whatever you want. There is a higher power than earth. Don't be earthbound. Don't let the circumstances of the earth bind you here. Don't let the momentary thing bind you here. Jacob was Rebekah's boy. Say Rebekah's boy. Jacob and Esau were twins, so I'm not going to assume you know this story. Jacob and Esau were twins. Rebekah is mama. Isaac is daddy. Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac loved Esau. That's what the Bible says. I love the Bible because it shows you all the good and all the bad. He's a mama's boy. Esau's a daddy's boy. Now, Esau was a hunter. He was a man's man. And so, a daddy likes a man's man, right? Most in the South, you know that's true. That's my boy out there on the field. That's my boy. Just killed that bear. That's my boy. He gonna say, that's my boy out there ice skating. That's my boy. No, he's a man of the flesh. And that's what Esau represents. He's a man of the world. Jacob, he was stayed at home. Well, Jacob, when they're in the womb, when they're being born, Jacob's coming out second. But he's got his hand on Esau's heel. He's trying to pull him back in. Because spiritually in him, in his spirit, there was this innate desire to have a spiritual inheritance. You're born with an innate desire to have a spiritual inheritance. And it ain't going to be supplied, and you're not going to be satisfied any other way but spiritually. It's in you. It's innate in Jacob. I want to be first, because I know whoever gets out first gets the inheritance. And he's trying, come here, boy. They're born. They're raised. Isaac loved to eat Esau's meat, the food he brought in. Well, Esau goes out hunting one day, and the flesh didn't work that day. You with me? He didn't kill anything. Bad day hunting. If he was fishing, he didn't catch any fish, Jim. He came home, no food. He's been out there a long time. He comes home tired, weary. Lift up the hands which hang down. Strengthen the knees. The flesh hadn't worked that day. He comes home and he's hungry. And Jacob has a pot of stew. He doesn't even know what it is. It's a pot of stew. And Esau says to Jacob, give me some of that stew. Jacob says, give me your inheritance. Esau says, I'll give it to you. It's no good to me. I'm dying. I'm starving to death. Anybody ever said that? You say, I'm starving to... None of us are starving to death. None of us are starving to death. But we've all said that at some time. You know, I'm starving to death. I'm starving to death. I've got to eat. And that moment so overtook him that he didn't look down through any quarters of time and remember his inheritance. He just said, I'll give it to you. And you say, oh man, I wouldn't give up my inheritance for a pot of stew. You've given it up for a lot of other things. The good thing about it is you can get it back. Thank God. Say, thank God we can get it back. I don't know about you, but I've lost my inheritance from time to time. I, in a moment, lost my inheritance. I lost my blessings. I lost my joy. I lost all the goodness in the moment. Because I'm not looking down through the quarters. I'm not reframing what I need to be reframing. Psychologists have studied the human appetites, and two words describe the battle in our minds. One is impact bias. It's we overestimate the feeling. We overestimate the feeling. And when you, whatever value you put on the feeling is what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. If you say I'm starving to death, you're starving to death. You really are. You keep saying that, you're going to die. You're going to starve to death. Because our words are powerful. So we overestimate. Then there's the word. See, our brain, I wrote this. Our brain lies to us. Then there's focalism. Focalism is we focus exclusively on one thing, and it blurs out everything else. All the trees in the garden, Eve was focusing on the one she shouldn't have been looking at. And there was all these other trees. You eat all these trees you want. All that you want. All yours. Don't focus on that one. It's the one I said not to focus on. Lot, he couldn't see Sodom and Gomorrah because he was looking at the land. And yet in that land was something that's going to kill his family. Going to devastate him. What can I do in my moment of deciding if I'm going to go flesh or spirit? What am I going to do in that moment of choice? Decision means everything. Let me tell you how to do it. This is deep now. Put on your waders. This is going to carry you deep. Just say no. Just say no. Ain't that easy? Just say no. When the flesh says, I'm starving to death, say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I can't have this. Yes, I can. I'm never going to get there. Yes, you are. Change it. Just say no to that. That's all you got to do. Just say no. There's a runner. His name is Dean Karnazes. He's one of the biggest runners in the United States of America. He has all kinds of trophies and successes in running. He's 30 years old. He's sitting in a bar on his 30th birthday, bored by his office job, drunk in a nightclub, on the verge of cheating on his wife. He puts down his margaritas, walks outside, stripped to his undershorts, and started running into the night. And he's been running ever since. He made a call that changed his life forever. He just said no to the moment and started running. Joseph ran. And because Joseph ran, the whole nation was blessed. A whole nation was blessed because he ran, because he looked down the quarters of time. Billy Woodward said something to me years ago that it stuck with me. Almost every day I think about it. Don't you think as you get older, life gets more simple? It gets more complicated. Because once you have children, sometimes they grow up and they have kids. You don't get simple, does it, Billy? It gets more complicated. My life hadn't gotten some more simple as I've gotten older. It's gotten more complicated. I got more people to take care of. I got more people in my heart, in my mind to carry every single day. I got Chris. I got Dusty. I got John Henry. I got Anna. I got Jet. Jet's enough. I mean, it don't get more simple. It gets more complicated. But it's an inheritance. And I've got an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance, that I got to make calls and decisions in my life that's not going to affect me. It's going to affect everybody beyond me that's come from these loins. Had somebody spiritually walked up to Esau and just tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, Esau, let me tell you something. There's going to be a saying from generations to generations. There's going to be a saying that is going to be not just a saying. It's going to be the name that God chooses for himself above all of the names. And it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That name they will know me by for generations and generations to come. Esau, do you want it written in scriptures? I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Esau. Wow. Wow. Matthew would give the genealogies and he would name Abraham and Isaac and Esau. Instead, it was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Because he gave up his inheritance for a pot of stew. For a moment. And that's why you got to reframe that moment. You got to look at this moment in a different way. And don't let the brain lie to you. Don't listen to your own lies. It's one thing for other people to lie to you. I can't control you lying to me. I really can't. I can't control you lying to me. I don't know. You ever been lied to by somebody? You ever told a lie? Okay. I can't control you lying to me. I can control the joy of me lying to myself. I can control that. Woe to the man who's lied to, but double woe to the man who believes his own lies. And you see, Esau believed the lie. He was going to starve to death. Outrageous lie. But he believed it. Our brain, our mind is telling us things every single day. And what I found out about this other side of me that I have and you have, called the carnal mind, the flesh. We ain't talked about these things in a long time. We have a carnal mind, or we have a spiritual mind. I choose every day to have a carnal or spiritual mind. I choose every day to go by the flesh or go by the spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the spirit, you shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. So, what's the big deal? What is the big deal, Moses? That sounds a little arrogant. Joshua, you go to battle. I'll take this staff that I have depended on for a long time now. And that when me and God had our talk, he said, that that's in your hand will become the rod of God. And what's in your hand every day is the rod of God. And this rod was the rod of deliverance. It was the rod of provision. But it became the rod of victory too. The banner. That I lift this banner up to God. When I lift my hands, I'm saying, God, I'm acknowledging there's someone not earthbound that's in the heavens. There's a spiritual awakening that I'm having right now as I'm just lifting up my head, I'm lifting up my hands, I'm acknowledging who you are. And by doing that, you're able to walk in the Spirit because you took your earth suit off, as it were, and you put on your Superman suit. See, underneath that thing, you're Superman. You got it. We're supermen. But we got to take the cloak off of the flesh and rely on the Spirit. And so here's Moses just holding up his hands, holding up a rod to heaven. And as he did, he was winning. The Israelites, not just he was winning, who else was winning? A whole company of people of Israel, 3 million people were winning just by one man lifting up his hands and acknowledging that God's the God of the universe. There's someone who has a higher power than this moment. There's a higher power than this circumstance and this situation. There's a higher power than what's happening right now. There's a higher power that I'm going to depend on and I'm going to trust in and I'm going to lift my hands to, because I got these kids in my arms. I've got their kids in the future. I've got to pass on my spiritual inheritance to their. They're going to get this inheritance, and then their kids are going to get this inheritance, and it's going to go on and on and on and on and on. It's down through the quarters of time. It's just not about me. It's not. And I want to tell you something. Next month, I'll be 67 years old. 67. I never thought about that 40 years ago. I couldn't even imagine being 67. It's gotten here. Boy, when James said life is a vapor, appears for a little while and soon vanishes away. Oh my gosh. Wait till you get older. And you'll look back and go, wow, that's so true. It's like a vapor. I was thinking the other day, I was sitting on the deck just thinking. I do that sometimes. And I have this thing hanging up. I call him, what do I call him? Wilson. Remember the movie? Wilson, the volleyball? I got a Wilson hanging. I just talk to Wilson sometimes. I'm out there because I got to talk to somebody. I said, Wilson, 20 years from now, I'll be 87 years old. And then I said, I said, Wilson, John Henry will be 35. I mean, all of a sudden I went, Wilson, wow, can you believe it? He don't ever talk back. That's what I like about him. I love him. He never says a word back. I just in spirit acknowledge him. So what you got to do, you got to get these jazz hands up in the air. You got to wave them like you just don't care. You got to lift them up in the air. I said that specifically for somebody who said, work this in your message tomorrow. And I said, you have no clue. This is the easiest thing I can do is work that one in the message. Josh Doss used it years ago. Every now and then he'd give me a word and say, work this word into the message. If you work this word into the message, I never fail to work it in. And because half the time, half of you not even listening, so you won't even know I said it. No, I'm just kidding. Let's stand. I want to take this simple rod of God that he put in my life, he put in your life. Moses stood before God one day and said, he had lived with this thing all of his shepherding life. And he didn't know how he was going to do what he was going to do. And God said, what's in your hand, Moses? What's in your hand? He's,
I already got it.
You got what you need. You got what you need. And then he told him a story. If you just keep it in your hands and don't put it in God's hands, if you throw it down, it turn into a snake. Hope that don't happen right now. That'd be a turn into a snake. That's what that represented. He threw his rod down and it turned into a snake. And I never understood this when he says, now pick it up by its tail. You don't pick snakes up by the tail. I know that. I'm picking them up, period, especially by the tail. But what he's saying, in your hand, Moses, this rod's a serpent that will bite you. But in my hand, it's a rod of God and it's a rod of deliverance. You have in you the ability every single day to make the right calls, to make the right choices, to make the right decisions. You just have to look down through the corridors of time. And for the joy that's set before you, endure it. Endure it. Every now and then, I have to endure some things. It's just part of life. But I can endure it in one of two ways, in pain, in sorrow, in regret, or with joy. If I reframe it, I can redo it in joy. When Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, in that day, one way of death was line up criminals, and a cup of poison was given them. And they would take a sip, he'd pass it to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, all the way to the end. If anybody drank more than their portion, the guy on the end went free. If there was no poison, went free. Jesus in Gethsemane took the cup and looked down the corridors of time and saw the line and drank it all. Didn't pass it to one single person. He said, I'm going to drink all this cup for all the world. And nobody is going to have to take a sip. Father, I thank you for Eagles Way Church. I thank you for this gorgeous day. I thank you that we can lift up our hands. Would you do that right now? Just lift up your hands. And when you lift your hands, you're just acknowledging who God is. You're acknowledging there's a higher power than here. I don't want to remain earthbound and earth thinking, earth wisdom. It's devilish. I want the wisdom that comes from above. I want the wisdom that He gives me when I acknowledge Him in all of my ways. He directs my path. When I say, Lord, what should I do? He tells me. He guides me. Wherever I go, He goes. Wherever I am, He is. We acknowledge You, Lord. We want to be a church, a body of believers, a family that lifts up our hands more. Oh, God. When I asked Will to come, I want to leave this with you. I came up Pentecostal, and I love my Pentecostal roots. I really do. But Pentecostals turned into emotionalism. The charismatic movement turned into sensationalism. And there was something lost in it. And I think what was lost in it was a sacredness of what that is all about. I don't raise my hands because I'm charismatic or I'm Pentecostal or I'm trying to prove something to somebody. I lift Him up to a God of the universe. I'm acknowledging who He is. And I'm just saying, God, while I'm lifting my hands toward You, when I focus on You, I make the right calls. I make the right decisions. When I lift up, You are my inheritance. Therefore, I'll lift up my hands and my heart to You. Because You're my inheritance. It's like I'm your only child. Wow. Amen. I love you dearly. I love this family. Be thankful when you leave today. Thank God today for your family, your spiritual family that He connected you with. Did you do that? Did you just acknowledge your spiritual family that He made you a part of? Then we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. We're for each other. Pray for each other. Love each other, forgive one another, submit to one another, care for one another. It's so good to be part of a family, isn't it? So it takes the solitude and places them in a family. God, I want to do what You've told me to do, just pray for these people more. And I pray. I bless them, let Your face shine upon them, keep them from evil. Lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. May Your kingdom come, Your will be done in earth in this moment as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, our daily word. Thank You, thank You, thank You, God, for all the people that You've put in our lives. Amen.
You may be seated. As our ushers are receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I tell you quite often we're thankful for your diligence, for your faithfulness in giving, touching people's lives for the work of the kingdom. A couple of important things that are going on, that there's a ladies' meeting right after this service over in the office building in the conference room. If you are a part of the ladies' ministry, they would love for you to be there. If you have no idea what the ladies' ministry is about, they would be willing to share that with you, so you can show up and they will tell that to you. This Saturday is our Saturday at Rushton's Hope that we provide a meal. We have a cook team and a serve team, so if you are interested in either one of those, make sure you have put that on your card. If you forgot to put it on your card, you can call the church office or text me, and we will make sure that we have all of that down. So let's pray and let's bless this offering. And what we're going to do this morning, just a little bit different. We're still going to end with worship. But not always do you have to sing to worship. So I want to have you stay seated, and as Kitty plays, I would like for you to worship until she's done with that. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to come to your house, to be with your people, our brothers and sisters. Lord, we receive, Father, Lord, all that you have for us, Lord, and now we go and we give. I thank you, Lord, for this tithes and the offerings and the alms and the missions. Lord, that you will further the kingdom of God for that. In Jesus' name.